Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Thank you, Katie, and welcome to program number 613 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week we've got a great lineup of songs, some things you probably never heard before. Like this, from 1961, here's Jimmy Durante, live at the Copa.
I could have danced all night and still have asked for more. I could have spread my wings and done a thousand. Stop the music, stop the music. Why should I sing the song and make it a big hit? Happy birthday. It's not my birthday. No. But it's the birthday of someone near and dear to me. It's Spinoza's birthday, not mine. And I'm proud to say the schnoz is doing fine. Spinoza was born upon this day in 1893. Exactly 2 weeks later, the stork delivered me. It was the first time in history that a nose outweighed the child. You know, when I was born, my dad took one look at the schnoz and he said to the stork, take that back. Just because our country's emblem is an eagle, that don't mean we got to raise one. But in spite of my dad, the schnoz and I are closer than Damon and Petinius. Not even a mustache has ever come between us. I tried to raise a mustache once and what happened? Nothing. It wouldn't grow in a shape. But I'm as happy as I. If I have a fight with her, you're the one. You know something? The schnoz felt kind of bad this morning. You know, Jules Bedell invited me up to his farm. You know, he raises bees. And when we got up there, he took me straight to the beehive. Then he said, Jimmy, stick your nose inside. See how they work. Well, I stuck my nose inside the beehive, and what happened? One of the bees looked up and shouted, run for the hills, boys. They're coming for the honey with a steam shovel. Say everywhere you go, sunshine follows you. Everywhere you go, skies are always blue. You know, folks, somewhere, someplace, there must be a man more handsomer than I am. But if there is, he'll never get on this show. Nobody gets on this show. Nobody. Come here now. Say everywhere. Ah, that's a choreography of me. That's a choreography. Positions, girls. Positions. Get your positions. The way we rehearsed it and everything, you'll be all right the way. I want you to know I produced and directed this number myself. Now the whole world says hello. Everywhere you go, get off, get off. Thank you, folks. Thanks ever so much.
Jimmy Durante entertains in 1961. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you like featured, send your request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And while you're online, check us out on our social media. It's on Facebook and X. Used to be Twitter, now it's X. And if you happen to have an interest in antique radios, want to acquire a set for yourself, one that's fully restored and functional, now meeting with Bluetooth capability, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. It's all one word, V-A-N-B, two E's and a K. You'll find some great sets available there. Now we're going back to 1941, the K. Kaiser Orchestra with Harry Babbitt vocalizing on Humpty Dumpty Heart.
It's divine, do you? You're a crazy Humpty Dumpty heart. You're letting a grin kid you. Oh, you never did win, did you? Just a silly Humpty Dumpty heart. Don't mean to criticize or say I'm wise, but if you will just recall, you sat on a garden wall, and you know, yes, you know what happened. You'll still take a chance, won't you? You sure want romance, don't you? Hope you're lucky, Humpty Dumpty heart. Hope you're lucky, Humpty Dumpty heart.
Brand new tune with a very sincere lyric and a melody to match. It's been kind of getting a pretty solid play, and I'd like to throw in my version. Everybody loves somebody. Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charms. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I found in your arms. everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charms. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I found in your arms. Oh, everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you.
No, that wasn't Dean Martin. That was a rare radio air check from 1948 from the Carnation Contented Hour with Buddy Clark doing Everybody Loves Somebody. Up next, we've got Harry James from his album Harry James and Hi-Fi, 1955. Here he is with Crazy Rhythm.
Just a gigolo, and everywhere I go, gigolo. deep below the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Oh, what they say. There will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know they'll say just a gigolo. Life goes on without me. And just a gigolo, everywhere I go. People know the part I'm playing. Paid for every dance, selling each romance. Oh, what they say. And there will come a day, and youth will pass away. What will they say about me? When the end comes, I know there's just a gigolo. Life goes on without me, 'cause
I ain't got nobody.
Oh, and there's nobody just for me. There's nobody just for me.
I'm so sad and lonely.
Sad and lonely, sad and lonely. Want some sweet mama? Come take a chance with me, 'cause I ain't so bad then. And I'll sing her sweet love song all of the time. She will only be ba-dee-bo-zee-bat bleep-up.
I ain't got nobody.
Oh, and there's nobody kiss for me. There's no matter kiss for me. No matter kiss for me. No matter kiss for me. Let
him go. Let him go.
Louis Prima and Keeley Smith from 1958 with Just a Gigolo. Now we've got Peggy Lee from 1957 and Listen to the Rockin' Bird from her album Jump for Joy.
Listen to the rockin' bird. Listen to the rockin' bird. He rocks and rolls while he flies around the sky. Ooh, listen to the rockin' bird. Listen to the rockin' bird. He's flying high and here's his reason why. Oh, I rock all day in the breezes, on the branches of the trees. Rock and roll all day in the trees, on the branches, in the breezes of the day. Listen to the rocking bird, imitate a mockingbird, or sing the blues like a bluebird never sang. Don't tell me you've never heard a rocking bird. He rocks and rolls and mocks the whole shebang. Bird, the bird, the rockin' bird, the bird. Ooh, listen to the rockin' bird. Listen to the rockin' bird. That's simply shocking, popping, bopping, mocking. Rockin' bird.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Come and take a trip in my rocket ship. We'll have a lovely afternoon. Kiss the world goodbye and away we fly. Destination moon. Travel fast as light till we're lost from sight. The earth is like a toy balloon. What a thrill you get riding on a jet. Destination moon. We'll go up, 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 up. Straight to the moon we two. High in the starry blue. I'll be out of this world with you. So away we steal in the space we'll be. A supersonic honeymoon. Leave your cares below, pull the switch, let's go. Destination moon. Into the Milky Way we'll wander while we watch the folks down yonder. Oh, we're gonna have a lovely afternoon. Up on the highest constellation, we'll look out across the nation, cause the earth is like a tiny toy balloon. We'll go up, 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 straight to the moon we two. High in the starry blue, I'll be out of this world with you. So away we steal in a spacemobile, a supersonic honeymoon. Leave your cares below, pull the switch, let's go! 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Destination moon.
The Ames Brothers from 1958 with Destination Moon. It's Bing Crosby time, our Bing Sings feature for the week. And we've got Bing Crosby with Rosemary Clooney and the Buddy Cole Trio from 1960. And Isn't This a Lovely Day?
Isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain? You were going on your way, now you gotta remain.
Just as you
see the sun up high, though we're caught in the storm.
I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm.
Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray.
Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
Isn't this a lovely day to be caught in the rain?
I was going on my way, now I've got to remain.
Just as you were going, leaving me all a fuss.
The clouds broke, they broke, and
oh, what a break for us.
I can see the sun up high, though we're caught in a storm.
I can see where you and I could be cozy and warm.
Let the rain pitter-patter, but it really doesn't matter if the skies are gray. Long as I can be with you, it's a lovely day.
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 Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here on the show where we give a listen to a complete radio broadcast from radio's golden age. This week we go back to November 29th of 1953 and tuning into The Six Shooter.
James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends.
The snow was beginning to melt by the time I reached Dawson. You could hear it dripping from the eaves, hitting the boardwalk along the main street. I'd figured on being in town a couple of days earlier, but that storm sort of threw me off schedule. Not that I had to be there any particular day, but my winter job at Dave Engelman's ranch would be waiting for me whenever I showed up. But the sooner I got to Dave's, the sooner we could start moving his herd down to lower ground, so... Oscar, oh boy. Well, it's almost noon, so I tied Scar to the hitching rail in front of Brick Vining's gambling hall and went hunting a place to eat. The town was sort of showing a little wear and tear. Of course, Dawson never had been a rich place, and I guess the drought last summer hadn't helped much. Folks just didn't have the money for improving the real estate, that's all. Except the jail. Huh. Gee, for a minute I couldn't believe my eyes. Well, it was all fixed up. Fresh green paint on the outside, new wooden steps leading up to the front door. Real honest-to-goodness bars in the cell windows. It sure was a different jail, all right. But the face grinning out at me from behind those cast-iron bars, well, that face hadn't changed a bit since the last time I was in Dawson.
Howdy, Britt.
Hello, Milt.
I heard you was coming to town. Dave Engelman said you signed up with him.
Yeah, that's right. You in for something, Milt?
Oh, there's a little ruckus over at Brick Vining's place last night. Some folks said I started it.
Uh-huh.
Reckon they're right.
You do, huh? Mm. Seems to me like you were in jail when I left Dawson a couple of years back, isn't it?
Was it Saturday night or Sunday morning?
Could have been. I don't remember exactly.
Well, if it was a Saturday night or Sunday morning, like as not, I was here. I ain't missed being thrown in more than two Saturday nights since they first built the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you're living in style. Why, George, this jail looks a lot fancier than it used to be.
Yes, yeah. New sheriff fixed it all up.
New sheriff, huh?
Sure. Oh, you heard about Saul Gordon being killed, didn't you?
No. No, well, what happened?
Oh, well, it happened, oh, maybe a couple of months ago. And, well, come on inside and have a look around while I tell you about it.
Well, I don't know about that, Milch. Maybe the new sheriff wouldn't care about it.
Oh, Sheriff Billy wouldn't mind. He'd like you to pay us a visit. Now, come on, Britt. The front door's unlocked.
Well, all right.
Well, that's some desk, ain't it? Solid mahogany. He had it shipped here, all the way from Frisco.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. He paid for it out of his own pocket, too, Billy did. Town couldn't afford a desk like that.
Oh, no. I don't suppose it could. Well, what about Saul? What happened to him?
Well, like I said, it was around 2 months ago. The Baxter brothers had been seen heading this way from White Eagle. When Sheriff Gordon heard about it, he got some men together and started looking for him.
Mm-hmm.
Young Billy hadn't been in town very long. He wasn't obliged to join the posse, but he went anyway. Billy Riddle. That's his name, Britt.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't a very big posse, and when one of them Baxters shot the sheriff, well, that'd have been the end of it. If Billy hadn't have took charge. Why, he managed to get off a couple of shots, and the next thing you know, both of them Baxter boys surrendered. So when Billy came back to town, well, nobody else was very anxious for the job of sheriff, so he seemed to be the logical man for it. You know, the way he handled the posse and all.
Sure,
of course,
sure.
Some of the folks thought he was a little young for the job. Well, can't be more than 22 or 23. But he's got a good, firm grip on himself.
He does.
Oh, he ought to be showing up about now. He always turns me loose in time for my Sunday dinner. Real nice young fella. You'll like him. Southern boy.
Oh?
Yeah, I don't know why he came out west exactly. Good thing for the town he did, though. Oh, howdy, Sheriff, howdy. Oh, we were just talking about you. This here is Britt Ponsett.
Ponsett?
Oh, that's right. You've heard of him, ain't you? He's a six-shooter.
Oh, sure. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett.
Howdy, Sheriff. I just strolling by, and Milt asked me to come inside.
Oh, glad you did. Well, Milt, I reckon you'd like to be on your way.
Oh, I don't know, Sheriff. This jail's getting to be a darn sight more comfortable than my cabin. What with all your improvements?
Well, if you want to stay...
Oh, on second thought, I'd better be getting home now. Thanks for the hospitality anyway.
Yeah, don't mention it.
You heading my direction, Brad?
You don't mind, Mr. Ponsett, I'd like to talk to you. Just for a couple of minutes.
Sure.
Well, so long, then. See you next Saturday, Sheriff.
Sure.
Goodbye, Mel.
I trust I'm not keeping you from anything, sir.
No. I was just thinking about eating a little dinner, maybe, if there's a cafe open.
Old Cotton serves a pretty good meal on Sunday.
That's
all? Cotton White, yeah. His place is right around the corner.
Fine. Well, I'll give that a try. You wouldn't care to join me, would you? We could talk while we're eating. That is, if you don't have any other plans.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Ponsett. I'd like to join you. You see, I'd been hoping you'd turn up in Dawson.
Fine, George. I sure was a nice, tender pot roast, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, oh, I ate too much, though.
Oh?
My belt's cutting into me like a cinch here.
Wait, like...
What was it you had in your mind, Billy?
My name's Riddle, Mr. Ponsett. Bill Riddle.
Uh-huh, yeah. Milt told me.
The name doesn't mean anything to you?
No, not offhand.
I heard a lot about you, Mr. Ponsett, since I came to Dawson. Folks say you've traveled a lot around this part of the country. Covered it all from one end to the other.
Boy, I've done my share of moving about.
What I wanted to know was if you ever ran into anybody else with the same last name as me.
Riddle?
Blake Riddle. That's the full name.
Relative?
My father.
Oh.
It's not a very common name. If you heard it, you'd be likely to remember it.
Yes, yes.
Here's your pie, Chef. But watch that plate, though. It's hot.
Thanks, God.
No, I don't think I ever heard that name before.
Well, I wanted to be sure.
Was your father in these parts?
I don't know. I know he was once. Not here in Dawson, but somewhere in this territory.
Mm-hmm. You haven't heard from him lately?
No. No, I've never heard from him.
Oh?
Fact of the matter is, I've never even seen him. You see, he brought my mother out west here before I was born. Wasn't the kind of life she'd been used to. She was born and raised in the South. Family had a plantation.
I see.
In those days, the frontier must have been pretty wild. Anyway, when it came time for me to be born, she went back home.
And your father didn't go with her?
No. Uh-huh. Maybe they had a quarrel. Maybe he didn't like her leaving him. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
Later on, she told me he was dead. But I found out that wasn't true. At least it wasn't true when she told me.
Oh?
Anyhow, Mother died last year. In her things was a letter from Dad. It had been mailed from Denver about 15 years ago. Said he was going to buy a ranch somewhere around Phoenix. He asked Mother to bring me along and meet him. From the way it was written, you could kind of tell he didn't expect her to come.
Yeah, yeah. Well, some folks don't bear up very well when they're transplanted, you know. They take root in one place, and there's no point in trying to move them.
Yeah, I reckon they just weren't suited. But now, well, I thought maybe if Dad was still alive, I thought maybe he and I... Tell you the truth, Mr. Ponson... I guess I'm his son, even though I never saw him. More his than Mother's.
I see.
And ever since I can remember, I've wanted to come west. Even before I knew about him. And I've been happy out here, too. Happier than I've ever been in my life. Of course, I didn't figure on being sheriff. That was just an accident.
Well, be that as it may, you're the sheriff, and Milt says you're a darn good one, so you've at least got one satisfied customer.
I'm going to try, Mr. Ponson. I'm going to try hard. I just wish that Dad... Well, if you should ever run into him, why...
Sure. What the Sam Hill's that?
Sounds like somebody's getting frisked.
There he goes, Sheriff. Over by the mercantile.
Yeah.
Oh, he ain't doing no harm. He's just shooting up in the air that way.
He ain't doing no good either.
Looks like he's running out of lead. Yes, there he goes, into Brick Vining's place.
And put the dinners on my bill, Cotton. I'll pay you for them later.
Sure, Sheriff.
Hold up a minute, Billy.
Yeah?
Hey, didn't you recognize that fellow, the one's doing the shooting?
What? No. Why should I?
Well, his name's Ben Reed.
Reed? You sure, Mr. Ponson?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I thought he was in jail over at Fort Lyon. I thought the marshal arrested him last month.
Well, Ben Reed's been in a lot of jails, but he always sort of manages to break out somehow, you know.
He won't break out of mine.
You gonna arrest him, Sheriff?
He's an outlaw, ain't he?
Why, sure, but he's mighty fast with a gun. At least so I hear. Ain't that right, Mr. Ponson?
Yeah, that's what folks say.
Well, I guess there's only one way to find out.
Sheriff Billy was young, all right, but he didn't walk young, and he didn't swagger. He just moved ahead like a man who knew where he was going. Of course, being a few years older wouldn't have done him any harm, especially if he was going to tangle with Ben Reed, and, well, there didn't seem to be any reason for me to miss all the excitement, so I started off in the direction of the gambling hall. If young Bill didn't know what he was doing, well, he'd soon find out. Ben Reed was sitting at a poker table dealing the cards. He didn't even look up when Bill came over and stood beside him. But Ben knew somebody was there, and he knew whoever it was wearing a star.
He laid the deck of cards on the table, and he rested his left hand on his knee. Gee whiz, I sure hope Billy knew that Ben was left-handed.
Your name's Reed? Ben Reed?
You talking to me?
I asked if you're Ben Reed.
Yeah, I'm Reed.
You broke out of jail over at Fort Lyon.
Don't look like I'm still there, does it, sonny?
And you're going back.
Oh.
You're under arrest.
I heard this town got themselves a new sheriff. Some youngster wasn't even dry behind the ears.
Get on your feet.
Sure. You know, most fellas your age, they have a lot to live for. They'd be sort of careful who they started ordering around, but maybe you're different.
Maybe I am.
What's your name, kid? Just for the record, I always like to know a man's name before there's any trouble.
Bill Riddle. Sheriff Bill Riddle. Give me a gun, Reed. I said, give me a gun.
For a couple of minutes, they stood there, not moving, staring at each other. Then Ben Reed's left hand slid down his hip a couple of inches. And in spite of myself, I found my own hand going for my holster. And then Ben's fingers stopped. And I couldn't believe my eyes. He unbuckled his gun belt and let it drop on the floor. Well, I guess the only person in that room who wasn't surprised was Billy. He just picked up those guns. He nodded to the door. Ben didn't even look back. He marched right out into the street and Billy behind him. It was a minute or so before it sank in just what had happened. Sheriff Billy Riddle had arrested Ben Reed without even drawing his gun.
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. I've got $100, 100 genuine United States dollars, and they're yours for a mere 75. Well, friends, suppose you heard an offer like that. You'd jump at it fast, wouldn't you? Well, that's the very offer I'm making you today. I'm promising a guaranteed return of $4 for every $3 you invest, and all you do is buy United States savings bonds. So sign up today for the payroll savings plan where you work or the bond a month plan where you bank. You'll feel more secure tomorrow if you buy United States savings bonds today. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
About 2 o'clock that Sunday afternoon, the snow started coming down again. Big, real big, heavy snow. So I left Scar at the livery stable and got myself a room at Mrs. Kramer's boarding house. Yeah, I sure didn't like the idea of going out for supper, but Mrs. Kramer said that she didn't fix food on Sunday nights. She was lead soprano in the church choir, and rain or snow, she had to be there for the evening service. There wasn't anybody else who could carry the melody. So I put on just about all the clothes I had with me and headed for Cotton White's Cafe.
Howdy, Mr. Ponsett. Oh, sure is coming down, ain't it?
Yeah.
We don't usually get a big snow like this before January or maybe
so.
February.
It seems like the weather's changing. I wonder what's causing it.
I don't know, Cotton. Don't know.
Ah, I was afraid you might be closed.
No, I would be, except for these lunches I'm packing.
Hmm?
Yeah, the sheriff caught me just as I was locking the door.
Oh?
The idea of leaving for Fort Lyon in a blizzard like this.
Fort Lyon?
That's where he says he's gone.
Well, what for?
He wants to turn Ben Reed over to the marshal there. He sure is in a big hurry to get rid of him for some reason. This don't make sense.
Hmm.
Like as not, they'll never make it to Lyon, any one of them. But Billy says they're starting tonight, so... Yeah. Ah, well, no, that does it. Oh, I'll just run these over to jail. You can pour yourself a cup of coffee, Mr. Ponson. I'll be right back.
Well, why not let me take them over for you, Carter, since I'm all bundled up and everything.
Oh, of course not, Mr.
Ponson. No trouble, no trouble. Besides, I'd kind of like to have a talk with Bill before he leaves town.
Well, if you're sure.
Yeah, and don't stay open for me. I'll just get a cup of coffee from Mrs. Cramer. That's all I wanted anyway. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Ponson.
Thanks for bringing them over, Mr. Ponson. Good night.
Hey, Billy, you serious about striking out for Fort Lyon tonight?
Yeah.
Well, it looks to me like he's as safe here as he would be anywhere else.
Guess he don't appreciate my company.
That's right. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're the sheriff.
Yeah.
You know, Fort Lyon's a 2-day ride in good weather. You know, no telling how long it'll take you to get in a storm like this.
Don't worry about that.
Hmm. Was something happened, Billy?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, I guess it's none of my business, whatever it is.
No, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Mr. Ponson. I don't know what's the use. Somebody will find out sooner or later. I'm not taking him to Fort Lyon. As soon as we get out of town, I'm going to turn him loose.
What?
And I'm not coming back to Dawson. I'm going home to Georgia, where I belong.
Well, I suppose you've got your reasons.
I told you. I only came out here to find my father. And I told you this was my lucky day. I found him. Of course, he wasn't quite what I expected. He's a thief, an outlaw, and a killer.
You mean Reed?
You knew it too, didn't you?
No. No, I didn't know anything of the kind.
Well, you must have guessed it then. When he let me take him without lifting a finger to stop me, you said yourself he was fast with a gun.
Well, I said that's what I heard. But the fact a man lets another man arrest him, well, that doesn't necessarily prove kinship.
I got the proof right here.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's a mighty pretty locket.
Open it up.
What?
Go on, open it. That's my mother's picture when she was a girl. It's copied from a picture that hangs in our parlor back home. And he was carrying it fastened to his gun belt.
That's all, Reed?
His name isn't Reed. It's Blake Riddle.
He's loco, Ponson. Ask anybody. I'm Ben Reed. I always have been.
You're a fool to lie about it. If you weren't Blake Riddle, you'd be going to prison.
I've been in prison before.
And because you think he's your father, you're going to turn him loose. Is that it, Billy?
I don't care about him or anything that happens to him. But she loved him once. At least she must have thought she did.
And afterwards, you're getting out of town, huh?
I don't reckon Dawson would have much use for a sheriff who was Ben Reed's kid.
Well, they wouldn't have to know.
I'd know it. I'd always know it. Even if they didn't.
Well, the town was mighty proud of you, Billy.
Well, at least I won't be the first lawman who couldn't hang on to Ben Reed.
No. No, no, that's true enough. It just seems to me you're acting on mighty flimsy evidence. It seems to me there's a lot of ways a man could get a hold of a locket like this one. It wouldn't necessarily follow that he really belongs to him. Of course, if Reed says it's his...
I ain't said that. He never asked me.
I didn't have to ask.
Well, what about it, Reed? Where'd you get it?
I had it so long, I almost forgot.
Yeah.
But it all come back to me when you was making such a fuss. Never thought a piece of junk like that would cause so much stir.
Go on.
I found it. It must be about 15 years ago now, maybe more. I was down around Phoenix, a little town named Court City. There were some other boys with me, and folks sort of got the idea we'd held up the bank, come looking for us with a posse. Well, there was a couple hours of shooting, and afterwards the posse went back without us. Those that were still alive, that is.
What's all this got to do with
it? Oh, let him finish, Bill.
Well, we went out to look at the bodies, you know, just to make sure the fellas were dead. One of them was carrying that locket, so I...
Are you trying to say you killed my father?
I don't know who killed him, not for certain. We was all shooting. I suppose it could have been me.
You're lying, you're lying.
Well, why should he lie?
If it's the truth, why did he keep that locket? Wasn't worth anything. Didn't have any value.
Well,
why'd he keep it?
I'll tell you, kid. When I opened it up and looked at it, I said to myself, now, she's pretty nice looking. So I thought, seeing as how the fellow who was carrying the locket was sort of out of action, and maybe someday I might run into the woman in person having her picture, it'd sort of give me an excuse.
You filthy rat! I'd kill you! I'd kill you with my bare hands!
Bill, now, get hold of yourself.
How could I ever have thought that a dirty, rotten killer would be my own? I must have been crazy, plumb crazy.
You sure were. The idea of a kid of mine turning out to be a sheriff.
It took Billy Riddle a little while to simmer down. When he finally did, he changed his mind about going to Fort Lyon. He decided to wait until the storm had died down, till he was sure of delivering the prisoner. Reed didn't say anything, not another word. Not until Bill went out back to get some wood for the pot-bellied stove.
Why are you looking at me like that, Ponson? You didn't believe me, did you?
Not entirely, Reed. No, not entirely.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, I was in Court City when you robbed that bank, and it wasn't 15 years ago. It was about 4 years ago. And the posse that went out after you, well, they didn't even get close to you. They came back, and all of them hadn't fired a shot.
Well...
And there was another, I think you'd call it, discrepancy.
What's that?
I knew all those boys in that posse, and none of them was named Riddle.
Well, one thing was true enough. The important thing.
Oh?
His father is dead. And I killed him.
What?
20 years ago, when his mother went off and left me, when she wouldn't come back, when she wouldn't even answer my letters. That's when I killed the man his father had been. I didn't think I had anything to live for. I didn't think I'd ever see Billy. I didn't think I'd ever see him as long as I lived. That's when I turned outlaw and became Ben Reed. That's when I killed Blake Riddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But as far as I'm concerned, there's a lot more of Blake Riddle here tonight than there is of Ben Reed. At least that's the way it appears to me. Well, it was a couple of days before that storm let up, and Sheriff Billy could take him over to the marshal at Fort Lyon. And he got him there, too. No trouble at all. Of course, a lot of folks said that afterwards Ben Reed would just break out of jail again like he always had before, but... You know, so far he hasn't even tried to. People just don't understand it. He's practically a model prisoner.
The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions.
Go, Joe, go.
And the old clock up on the studio wall tells me it's time to close up shop for another week. I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hope you'll join me again next week for more music and memories of the greatest generation. Feel free to email me with your comments about the program, any song requests, or old-time radio show requests. Send them to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And be sure to check us out on our social media. It's on Facebook and on X. And if you happen to be looking for an antique radio, check out my website at radioaddict.com/Van Beek. That's all one word, VanB2Es and a K. And I've got some great sets available. So until we meet again next week, I'm Greg Van Beek saying so long for now.